When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Jason Bryan from the Short Time Wrestling Podcast and founder of the Mat Talk Podcast Network. Shows on the network are individually owned and operated, and those opinions presented and expressed may not reflect others, the sponsors, patrons, or the parent network. Find more shows about the greatest sport in the world at the Mat Talk Podcast Network at MatTalkOnline.com.
You're locked into the Pack Vitality Poppins Podcast, a look inside the NC State wrestling program with head coach Pat Popolizio and members of the Wolfpack team and staff. Now let's join your host, five-time All-American and student athlete development coordinator, Hayden Hidley.
Episode 108 of the Pack Mentality Pop-Ins Podcast. I'm your host, Hayden Hidley, joined, as always, the head coach of the NC State wrestling team, Pat Popolizio.
Hayden, great to see you, as always. And I like your shirt you got on.
Yeah, so later in this episode, we'll be joined by, you know, newly minted All-American Ed Scott. So I decided to, support the athletes and, you know, contribute to Ed's NIL fund and, you know, buy one of his t-shirts. So I think if you want to check on Twitter, you can see a picture of me and Ed replicating this t-shirt design. Had a lot of fun with Ed, interviewed him. And so stay tuned after the interview here with Pat to, get to hear from Ed Scott and, you know, all that went into his All-American finish this past weekend in Tulsa.
I'm sure a lot of people are going to be asking how they can get one of those shirts. So Ed might have to re-up his website.
I'll make sure that Ed gets on his social media and kind of, you know, puts out the information to get these shirts. The best part of it all was trying to replicate his celebration is actually a little bit difficult because he does a frog hop kind of in air.
I could see that with his kind of way he walks. He can kind of get that frog hop going real good.
Yep. And so we were looking around WB to find somebody to take the picture, and we got Camacho. And it took about, as long as it took the interview to get a good picture. But we ended up getting that burst feature that you can take on your photos and made it work. But it was a spectacle for sure if you were on WB trying to watch us take a picture.
What quality of cotton we have in that shirt, you know?
All right, hold on. Let me get it up. Let's see.
Oh, that,
we've got.
Yeah, those are good shirts.
Canvas.
Yeah. That's an athletic fit too.
90% cotton, 10% polyester.
All right, Ed does it right. All right, good quality shirt.
Yep. Just enough. Got to get my shirt back on. Just enough stretch. But Pat, a lot to unravel here in this episode. Obviously got Ed kind of coming in to join after this, but, you know, going over some of our All-Americans finish at the NCAA tournament, some guys that just missed out. Basically, to start out, general thoughts of the NCAA championships held in Tulsa. Any kind of initial thoughts of it?
Yeah, you know, you've got to dissect that tournament. It takes some time. Emotions run high. There's always a good, bad, and ugly that comes from the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I'm going to focus on the positives here. Three All-Americans is a pretty solid year for us. Obviously, we want to strive for more and better things. But, you know, last couple of years, we've had multiple guys on the podium. So I think the standard and tradition now is set, and we have to continue to accomplish those things and celebrate those things when they do happen. And I was real happy and proud of the guys, you know, for fighting through. You know, it started hot. and as you've now seen on the other side of things, it's a roller coaster ride when you're at that tournament. And started hot, we hit some lows, and what do you call it? The last day there is called the Wasteland.
Wasteland Invitational.
So we were wrestling in the Wasteland Invitational on Saturday, and our guys that were competing then showed a lot of heart and grit to punch their ticket. You know, obviously Friday night, it's a brutal round, the round of 12. And guys ended on a positive note, I thought, you know, and team-wise, you know, we finished in the top 10, so that's positive. Well, we're going to continue to evolve, get better. 2 years in a row, top 10. Standard remains the same, is to compete to bring trophies home. So we got work to do, and I'm thankful that we got everyone back next year. So guys have that experience now, and it's time to get back to work.
Yeah, I guess just kind of paraphrasing all that, team finished in 10th place. I think it was the third year we got top 10. I think we went 6th, 8th, 10th. Does that sound right?
That COVID year too kind of hurt us a little bit. But.
Yeah, we had a good team there. That, and then stretching back, that was the last time we were out of the top 10. But three All-Americans. Kai Orini finishes 8th at 133. Ed Scott 5th at 157. Trent Hidley 4th at 184. Jackson Arrington made the blood round. The round of 12 fell short there. And I think you talked about the highs and lows of that tournament. And my first time experiencing it as something different than an athlete, I think the 30-minute window, I think that encapsulates it all for me, was we were in the blood round. This is a little bit after Kai had already won, and we had Jackson wrestling, and then he goes through that barn burner of a match, loses it late, and then 5 minutes, you turn around, and Ed Scott wrestles just one of the highest paces of a match that I've seen in a long time, and just both guys were really giving it their all, and Ed ends up winning in overtime. And I think after that, I didn't even know how to feel, because you have like the ultimate lows and then you rebound with a high, but then you just keep remembering, wow, there's a low just no more than 10 minutes ago in the other match. I think that has been a different thing for me to experience. I think as somebody other than an athlete, I think that 30-minute window, I think I had every single range of emotion you could have. And it's a very difficult thing to kind of balance, I think, at that tournament. That's one thing that stood out to me.
Yeah. And the more you do it, the harder it gets, Hayden. So those don't change over time. And it is, you know, you see these guys pour their heart and soul into their body of work for the year. And you just, you know, you want them to be rewarded with success. And, you know, our sport is very humbling. And, you know, the guys that accomplish their goals, you know, feel great about it. And the guys who don't, they got to roll right into the off season and next year and keep that motivation and that burning desire to be great. And it's not an easy thing to do, you know, as you've been through it as an athlete. You know, you've left that tournament, and, you know, the next week you're right back at the drawing board trying to get ready for the following year. So the positive is we're going to have a lot of hungry guys this off season, and it's going to make us better. So, you know, I'm excited to see the continued growth that all these guys have. And we had a lot of younger guys that were in that tournament, but we're going to gain some valuable experience for that and keep growing and keep getting better. But yeah, you know, you got a minute or two to kind of go and erase your emotions for the next match. And you got to have short-term memory at that tournament, because you got to get focused and ready for the next guy that's competing. And, you know, having nine guys in that tournament, there was no downtime, that's for sure.
Yeah, speaking of some of those younger guys, maybe just fell a little short and have that hunger for next year. Wanted to speak individually about all the All-Americans, but before that, kind of want to talk about Jackson Arrington's tournament. Just was one of the guys that wrestled above his seed, made it to the round of 12, had a great win in the first round over Kenner of Ryder in overtime, had to wrestle Yanni Diakmihalis, the newest four-time national champion, then in the second round, lost to him, then on the backside, was able to reel off some really good wins against Oklahoma, then Oklahoma State, and then into the blood round, wrestles multiple-time All-American Brock Mahler, falls just short in that match. Where do you see Jackson's year, I guess, and in the rearview mirror, and kind of where do you see him going from here?
Yeah, not an easy thing to do for any true freshman to get thrown in the lineup. And, you saw the, I just think from November to March, you know, Jackson improved every week. He took some losses through the year, never got down on him, learned from his mistakes and constantly improved. And I thought he wrestled really well at the national tournament. Obviously, you know, you wanted to punch his way in the top eight in that, you know, that round of 12 matches. Those are the matches that are going to keep you motivated and make sure you have a really good off season. But it wasn't from a lack of effort. You know, I think you got to continue to get better, and you just, some kids need some time and experience. And I think that was very valuable for him. And he's going to be right in the mix of things to compete to win it in the near future. And a lot of really good positive things are coming from this season. And I think he learned a ton, and he's going to be a threat as time goes on.
Yeah, going into our All-American performances, Kai Orini, you know, one of the most developed guys on the team, I think, in the last year, finishes eighth at 133, went 3-3 in the tournament, picked up some big wins against Biscaglia of UNI and Chance Rich of Cal State Bakersfield. Kai, I think, has really come into his own and sort of really embraced the role that he has on the team, and that's just being one of the most exciting guys and kind of one of those athletes where he does a lot of things where, you know, coaches and fans are kind of scratching their heads and like, how exactly did he do that? And I think he's really kind of come into his own this season, and obviously looking for more next year. But I think this was a great step for him to find his way onto the podium, kind of give him that confidence that, you know, his style might be a little bit unconventional and there's not many people that can do the things that he does, but he found a way to make it to the podium this year.
Great success story. You know, you look at the beginning of the year, didn't start all that hot. And, you know, as you get towards the end of the season, he really came into his own. And it's fun to watch a guy like that develop right in front of your eyes, because he's grown tremendously as a person, you know, as a student. And obviously his wrestling skills speak for themselves. He is very exciting to watch wrestle. Does some, like you said, some unorthodox style out there, which makes it challenging to compete against. And I'm just glad he's wearing an NC State singlet. And I think, you know, one thing with Kai, and even myself didn't realize, but he battled through, at the time thinking it was a minor injury, but it sounds like it's a little more serious than we thought, with a little foot injury that happened, I don't know, it was about a week out before the Pittsburgh duel. Mm-hmm. And battled through. And then, you know, had the performance he did at ACCs and NCAAs, and it just kind of shows his toughness and will to compete and win. And he's going to need some time to get that healed up, and look forward to the future that he holds with NC State.
Yeah, 157, Ed Scott, another guy that made his first appearance on the podium at NCAAs. He took fifth, had some great wins over Jake Hughes of Missouri. In the blood round, was able to beat Cardenas of Stanford, another guy that was ranked in the top eight the whole year. Finally got one in the win column against Andonian in the consolation bracket NCAAs. Great tournament out of it. I think he really kind of came into his own this weekend, wrestled calm when he needed to, but also just wrestled the way that he knows and just creating a high pace. And I think him finding the balance of it this weekend was able to propel him to the podium. And I think you'll see in the interview later, he gets into detail just kind of about his mindset and his journey that he's had throughout this year. But you look at Ed, and I think he had one of the toughest regular season schedules out of anybody in NCAA wrestling this year. Went into NCAAs with seven losses and just was kind of there's more that meets the eye to that. You know, wrestled a ton of guys in the top 10 and some guys multiple times, and really was able to put it together for the NCAAs and find himself to the podium for the first time.
Yeah, and I think you got to look back from a year ago where Ed was at. You know, he left that tournament really disappointed. And one thing I like about Ed is he fueled that negative experience and that letdown, because you could see it in that tournament. He was not going to be denied of, you know, getting on the podium this year. And there was moments in that round of 12 match where it could have went either way. And I do truly believe that that burning fire and desire of not accomplishing his goals last year helped him battle through to make sure that he secured that win in overtime. And, you know, it's a different kind of wrestling once you get over those humps, you know, and you know you're at a certain level. And I think that's what you saw at Ed Scott when he was able to finish out those last couple matches. You know, you could kind of see things shift. And after that quarterfinals match, he really started opening up and wrestling his style. And I think he's going to learn a ton from this. And I think we're going to see some of the best wrestling Ed Scott has left in the next 2 years.
Yeah, not to go unnoticed as well, he produced a lot of bonus points at this tournament, had two pins, had a medical forfeit win in the fifth place match. I know in the past couple of years, we've been asking, you know, like, when is it our turn, I guess, as a team to get some of those medical forfeit wins for the bonus points. And we got one of them this year. But Ed also just really got it done with pins, two pins in the Consi side of things. And, you know, when you're in any team race, any kind of implication, those are huge. And he scored a lot of points for the team. I think 16 of them, to be exact, for the team this weekend. Can't go unnoticed.
And it is. You get in the NCAA tournament, bonus points are critical because it's almost the same amount of points as placing. So if you can get a fall, you know, and that was a big factor in this year. You know, we scored a lot of points that first round, and guys did a really good job of collecting some bonus points. And, we set a goal going into that tournament, and I don't think we were far off from it and what we needed as far as bonus points. And, Ed's a pinner, so it's good. Good time for him to go out and unleash those falls.
Our last All-American, Trent Hidley, finished fourth at 184. Makes him a four-time All-American, three times on the podium. The other one was the COVID year where he was a first-team All-American. Over the weekend, had wins over Saldano of Rutgers, Bolin of Virginia Tech, Coleman of Iowa State. I think the Bolin one, that was their seventh match, and he was able to get the edge on I think that was his fourth win, so was able to finish out that rivalry on top, which was good. Had four straight wins over him to finish out. Trent's tournament reminds me a lot of some of the things that I've gone through as a competitor. You know, the higher you climb, the further you seem to fall when things don't go your way. It's hard in the moment to realize that you're an All-American and it's a really great finish. I think the stakes are so high for him that, you know, finishing fourth of this tournament is pretty disappointing. He's kind of walked in away from that, just, you know, same way that I probably did during some of my tournaments there, which, you know, you're constantly looking of what could have been, and hard to realize in the moment that it's a great accomplishment. I think he's kind of finding that out now a few days after the fact, but you know, been the leader of the team the whole year and able to come out on the podium. It's really difficult to wrestle on Saturday at the NCAA tournament. I think if there's one thing people should know, it's that when you get to those rounds, it just takes all of your will and all of your body that's usually not there at that point to even wrestle. I've had some performances on Saturday that haven't been good and some that have been good. And so it's kind of hard to really replicate and train for that feel that you have on Saturday. Trent went 1-1, was able to win in the Consi semis, then lost in the third place match. Pat, I know you've been around a lot of athletes, you know, kind of like us that have reached that semifinal round where, you know, you're just close to where you want to be, but, you know, you take some losses and it feels like the end of the world. Kind of, would you explain Trent's season and kind of where I guess you're at with those kind of athletes that go through that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the head. The expectations are to go there and win it. And, you know, when you get those goals and dreams taken away from you, you don't have much time to heal, you know, and you're asking these guys to go out and perform at an elite level and beat guys that, you know, you've beaten through the year or maybe in the years past. And that's not an easy task to do. And you got to dig deep. And what you see out of Trent is true character and will and passion. And that was heart, you know, going out there and trying to wrestle at his best, even though, you know, he's probably still processing, you know, the semifinal match. And that's what makes that tournament is probably one of the toughest tournaments in all sports, is there's so much mental that goes into it. And you know, I'm just appreciative and thankful that we got a lot of really mentally tough kids on our team. And I think that's defines Trent to a T. You know, a lot of people wouldn't have been able to keep competing like that. And he showed true character and how tough he is. And I think how much the program means to him, because, you know, he's going out there trying to score points for the team at that point, because whether you're third or eighth, you're still an All-American. And that just comes down to pure pride at that point. And that's why we've labeled this tournament on Saturday on the backside as the, what's it called again? The
Wasteland Invitational. Yeah, I'll have to try to get that trademarked. I think after experiencing it again this year, and I where I got that term from, I kind of took it from my dad. It was after last year's semifinal round, whenever Trent and I both lost. And he told us that, you know, tomorrow's just another day to enjoy the sport that you guys are really great at, and kind of treat it as a separate tournament, you know, where you're just showing up and it's you're 0-0 going into that day. And so I kind of in my own mind was like, all right, I'll twist this and try to convince myself to go out and on a high note and win this tournament. And so that's where I came up with just the Wasteland Invitational, because you kind of show up and I don't know, not everybody shows up to it. Let's keep that in mind. Some people lose and then they don't show up. But, you know, if you're one of the guys that do show up, you go into weigh-in lines, everybody's like tired, everybody's body hurts. Some guys have some major injuries that they're going through. And it's just very difficult to compete, because you go into the arena. Those rounds there, Saturday morning, are the least attended rounds that there are. And you look up in the stands, and people are still kind of getting over their Friday night. You know, they're waiting to go into Saturday night to see the finals. And so in my mind, I just always treat it as a separate tournament. You know, it is what it is. Like I lost my chance of getting an NCAA title, but I mean, there's a brand new tournament on Saturday to try to do your best at. And one thing that I recognized this year, I think, was the Wasteland Invitational doesn't start Saturday morning. It actually starts Friday night after you lose, because you have to cut weight again and then weigh in next morning and Saturday. And I think as an athlete, you always look and see the people like criticizing you for losing, or you check your Twitter and you see the people that, you know, are happy to see you lose or just wondering why you lost or whatever. And my rule of thumb was that if you weren't one of the people that ever had to do what people have to do on Friday night to get down to weight, then like your opinion to me never really counts. It doesn't matter. And I think I was sitting there with Kai, Ed, and Trent on Friday night helping them get down to weight. And I was just thinking of like, I don't know, it's like, whatever haters you have, like unless they've actually experienced that moment where, you know, your dreams are crushed and you still have to make weight for the next day and getting down the weight, whenever it's whatever it is, 10:30 at night, unless you've been there, it's your opinion probably doesn't mean a whole lot in that moment.
Yeah, it's tough to process for someone that hasn't encountered those letdowns or emotions and feelings. And you know, that's, I think, what makes wrestling so great and special. It's what makes these guys down the road be super successful. They can deal with adversity. They've been through a lot. And, you know, just it's going to define them as people for bigger and better things to come outside our sport. So it's tough to process and digest for the guys that have to encounter that. But something good will come from it. And in due time, you'll see all these guys be ultra successful because of this.
Yeah, I think I want to put a final ribbon on this podcast, and you know, we'll be back in the studio maybe a little bit more infrequently as we head into the off season. But yeah, two questions for you. Like, what did you think of the Tulsa location for NCAAs? And then just kind of put a final statement on this season. You know, obviously we're 5-time ACC conference champions in a row. We're the co-ACC dual champions, have all point scorers returning for next year. I guess answer those two questions and we'll finish out there.
Yeah, the Tulsa really didn't see much other than the hotel and the arena, to be honest with you, Hayden. I don't think people can grasp the amount of time and energy that goes into behind the scenes stuff when you're at that national tournament. I know people are going there to have, you know, a good time and enjoy the competition, but as competitors and coaches, you know, you're on high alert basically all weekend. You're not done until 11, 12 at night, and you're back at it. I think our wake up call was right around 6:30 every morning. I was really appreciative and thankful. Mackenzie finally, it's probably the first time I've had dinner at the NCAA tournament in years. And that was because we got everything in house at the hotel. So that part was a major positive. It was nice being back, you know, in a state that I attended college at Oklahoma State, and got to see a lot of former teammates and people that, you know, been very impactful in my career. And just, it was always good to run into them, have dinner, catch up a little bit when Tuesday night. And yeah, the season itself, you know, when you look back from November where we were projected to start, I think there was a lot of question marks, and our guys took that personal. They put their head down, they went to work, and the goal was to get better each week. And I felt like we did that. And, you know, it's not an easy task. This conference has gotten a lot tougher. There's obviously multiple national champs that came out of it this year and all Americans. So when we can, you know, have four individual champs at the ACC tournament and win it for the fifth time in 5 years, that hasn't been done in 50 years. So I think, you know, you can look at numbers and history. That's not easy to do. So there's a lot of reasons behind that. And I think we can pinpoint our culture and the buy-in and the expectations of what NC State wrestling is now. And there is a standard to that. And we got to continue to find guys that believe and are willing to put the work into it. So, you know, we were going to pride ourselves on, you know, maybe we didn't have the weekend we wanted, but I think we can walk around with an NC State shirt and carry a ton of pride, you know. And I think that's something that stands out to me is, you know, you put that logo on, it means something, and people that understand, you know, our program, they know what our guys sign up for and all the work that goes into that. So I think our stock remains really high and really good, and we just got to continue to improve and get better. And there's going to be a lot of great things in the works. One, this off season for guys making world and Olympic teams, but I think the future remains extremely bright here at NC State.
Yeah, like you mentioned, going into the freestyle season, we have a ton of guys competing at the U.S. Open, you know, with the RTC guys and the guys still on roster here at NC State. Around 13 will be competing at the U.S. Open in Vegas. And then in the beginning of June at the U23 tournament in Geneva, Ohio, we'll have about 14 guys. And that includes a couple of the U20 guys as well. The U20 world team trials will take place there. So I obviously have a lot of guys still competing in freestyle and have that urge to still compete with guys that are on the roster. It's going to be very exciting off season. We'll see a ton of guys competing. But Pat, that'll do it for us here. Stay tuned to listen to Ed Scott and kind of get some thoughts from him on his All-American finish at the NCAA tournament. But for us and Pat, that'll do it for, you know, Podcast 108.
Keep it rolling.
All right, we'll see you guys soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today's featured guest, 157-pound All-American Ed Scott. Ed, welcome to the studio. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for having me.
absolutely. So let's just get right into it. First time All-American, how does it feel?
It's pretty exciting, but it's kind of bittersweet, I would say, because obviously All-American wasn't my real goal. My real goal was to be a national champion. So at the end of the day, it's nice to get on the podium, but I want to be on the top of it.
Yeah, it's obviously good to celebrate for the first time. I think especially, the past couple of years you've had, you've been last year, you get to the blood round or close enough where you can kind of almost taste the podium and just fall short. And now you're back in the blood round again. Where do you say was the biggest growth in between, first year going to the national tournament and second year, going to the national tournament? You go to the same blood round twice, both really close matches, we're able to pull it out in this second time around. What do you attribute to that kind of change and that ability to win in the blood round?
I think I attribute it mostly to, being able to realize that, I've put in the work and I'm doing all the right things and I'm following what all the coaching staff says. And I think that's, that was a big part of it for me this year. And it helped me believe in myself that, I did everything that I needed to do and I was prepared.
Yeah, I think just speaking about that blood round match, of all the matches in the tournament, you kind of bring up the word, the phrase blood round. I feel like that was that explains the blood round in a nutshell. Two guys that wrestled really hard, two guys that got it pretty tired, and just the pace of wrestling was so high. What I want to know and kind of what I want the fans to listen in on is, as you're going into overtime during this blood round match against Cardenas of Stanford, what's going through your mind? And especially after how hard you guys wrestled in the regulation and, just going into overtime, you could tell, both you guys were tired, but seemed like you had the edge and you sort of had the momentum rolling into overtime. What was going through your mind, as you go into that overtime period?
I think my mindset was, keep attacking. I was on my offense the whole match, so I was really focused in on, getting to my attack and then finishing clean. I knew he would be more tired than I was. It's just, how we train here at NC State, there's no way that he's in better shape than I would be. So I was tired, but I knew he would be more tired than me.
Yeah, I think it was it's such a nerve-wracking, experience for me for the first time watching all this go down, especially with... I feel like you and Jackson wrestled with, there was like maybe a couple minutes in between. And so you get over watching Jackson's match and, heartbreaking finish. And then we go right into the next one. And it's like, man, I didn't even have time to catch my breath. And then you got two guys out there just wrestling like a crazy pace. And I was really impressed by that just overtime round. I think you did a really good job of, resetting and kind of focusing yourself. But you realize that, you need to keep your foot on the gas because you had the advantage in conditioning at that point. It sounds like you had a lot of confidence there and, kind of walk us through the setup and takedown that you're able to use to make that happen in overtime.
The setup I used, I hit that one a lot. So I kind of hit like a little fake to the left leg and I went back to go for a fireman's carry, but he got his hips back. And so I ended up in on a high C and we've been working on a finish from there and I kind of used it. But I ended up going crackdown and covering his far leg instead of going lift and finishing across.
Yeah. I think once you got the opponent to his butt, it was kind of really difficult for him to fight that position just with, the stamina and, the technique that you use, but it's, overall, very impressive match, and I think people don't realize how quickly you have to turn around for that next match. And you win in the blood round, you kind of get that monkey off your back of you're an All-American, and then the next round, you've got a longtime rival of guy that has gotten the best of you the last few times and has been kind of another monkey on your back in wrestling Bryce Andonian of Virginia Tech. And, you win that blood round match, you got to quickly turn around and wrestle another really difficult match. What was your mindset, after that first match and knowing that you had to take on Andonian and just, I don't know, what was it, half an hour later?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, what was the mindset after the blood round match and going into the next one?
I was just, I was thinking, go out and I'm going to wrestle a solid match and I'm going to stay in good position. And, you know, I'm going to give it my all. And I think, you know, another important thing for me in between those matches was just taking the time to rehydrate and put, you know, fluids and food back in my body and fuel up for that next match as well.
Yeah. And I think just talking about the match itself and, you know, the kind of tail of the tape when you're wrestling Andonia is getting down a little bit early and then having to claw your way back. And, you know, the writing on the wall kind of started coming up again. You know, you're down at one point by, what was it, 5 or 6 points. You're in that kind of same position you have been in the previous matches. What made the difference in this time around compared to the last few matches where you started down early, but, you know, this time you were to work your way back?
I think the biggest difference was, you know, being able to stay calm and not over wrestle in positions that I normally would. A lot of the times, you know, when I get down by something like that big of a margin, I think I over wrestle positions and it ends up kind of biting me in the butt a little bit. And this time I stayed calm and I wrestled solid in those positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think whenever you wrestle, you know, whenever you have a small conference like the ACC, you're bound to wrestle guys a lot. And I just want to know, like, finally getting over the hump and getting a win over that guy, like, what kind of feeling does that give you? Because I know I've experienced that before as a wrestler. I feel like I've wrestled Michael Kemmer like 7 or 8 times before I finally got a win. And that stretched over, you know, almost a decade. So, like, you know, kind of talk the fans through, you know, getting a victory like that, what that does for your confidence and, you know, overall, what's the feeling like after you finally get a win against a guy that's kind of had your number the past few years?
You know, I mean, I think it was definitely a feeling of relief and a little bit of pride because, you know, I knew I had it in me, but I was glad to shake that monkey off of my back and be able to kind of move forward from that. It was definitely, you know, we've wrestled quite a few times and he's gotten the best of me, up until the national tournament this past time we wrestled. So I think it was a really good feeling. It was exciting, but it was also relieving in a way.
Yeah. Great. And you go into the next day, take a loss to Humphreys, and then you finish with 5th place with a medical forfeit win, over Rob of Nebraska. Kind of walk us through this, that third day of wrestling. This obviously your first time wrestling on Saturday. Anything you kind of took note of? How difficult is it to turn around on Saturday then and have to wrestle kind of in that round? You know, I've called it in the past, the Wasteland Invitational. What's that like to wrestle that third day?
The Wasteland Invitational is definitely something. It's something else. I think, at that point, a lot of guys are kind of, you know, we're worn down. It's a long tournament and it's honestly brutal. So, I mean, I think it's a good experience, but it's also like your body is tired and, you know, it's that day it's all mental, I believe. So,
yeah, we didn't crack out the, what do you call those little smelling salts things that kind of weightlifters use? I remember the one time I was feeling it. I think it was a few years back and I was like, man, I don't even know if I can wrestle today. And took one of those things and just like, all right, well, here we go. Yeah,
I think we gotta bring the smelling salts back for sure. I'll wrestle like a complete psycho if I smell one of those.
Yeah, so. We start talking about it and you know, Will Conn's like, yeah, absolutely not for Ed. He'll start going too crazy and wrestle out of his shoes. But I don't know, we'll keep that in our back pocket. Maybe another year. We'll get into some fan questions, but one question I had, I think, for myself after watching you for the last few years, I don't know if there's a wrestler that I've been around that before the match starts, you get the look of focus that you do. Every time I kind of watch you pacing around before a match, you've got the headphones in, got a look of just, I don't know, just like you're about to tear it up. I want to know one thing. What music is playing through your headphones whenever you get to that stage and you get into that mood?
So I'm going to be honest with you, probably don't want to know the answer to this question, but I would say a lot of times it's either Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo or Don't Stop the Music by Rihanna. So, yeah, I might look like I'm about to like go out there and like try to kill somebody, but on the inside, I'm kind of just vibing.
that's a good answer. I would have not seen that coming. I would have thought that it was just like, I don't know, something screamo or something like really aggressive rap, like, I don't know, maybe some DMX where it looked like you put yourself in just this mood. But hey, I mean, the duality of man, you know, you've got the look on the outside, but what's going on the inside is completely different. Yeah, I appreciate that for sure. Couple fan questions. As we move into this next phase of the wrestling season, start looking at freestyle stuff in the off season. George Flythe wanted to know, do you think it's necessary to learn freestyle and Greco as a younger wrestler to be able to become a next level wrestler, like say a Division One wrestler like yourself in college?
I wouldn't say it's 100% necessary, but I would say that it definitely provides you with a little bit more knowledge of wrestling in different positions, and it makes you more aware of, like, you know, positions that you might not always get into. But, you know, if you end up in those positions, I say it's definitely advantageous to you to learn freestyle and Greco.
Yeah, I think definitely looking at your skill set too is you have the ability to do some pretty crazy upper body stuff. You have the ability for big moves. Would you say that, you know, doing any freestyle Greco has opened that up to you, or do you just say that just kind of comes naturally?
I think freestyle and Greco definitely opened it up to me a little bit. I wasn't like a really big upper body guy until I started freestyle and Greco, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
All right, last question I got here. This is from Ryan Smith. How did you celebrate becoming an All-American for the first time?
You know, I got home, I got off the plane. The next day I went and I got myself a big cone of ice cream from Ben and Jerry's. You know, that's kind of my go-to, but that's how I celebrated it.
Nice. What flavor?
I got fish food. It's like, sounds gross, but it's like a chocolate ice cream with like marshmallow and like fudge in it. So it's pretty good.
Nice. Like that. Trombley said that the first thing he was going to do after wrestling was done was get a root beer float. So I don't know, Ben and Jerry's, that sounds pretty good to me. Ed, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate your insight and, you know, just congratulations on a great year. It's been, you know, very fun to watch your growth and can't wait to see the future of your career play out here at NC State.
Thank you.
That'll do it for us here at the Pack Mentality Poppins podcast. We'll see y'all next time.